welcome back to another, can you believe it, another positive What the Fork Sunderland review show. We said, could we? We even probably asked, should we? But another superb Sunderland win has us in sixth, and maybe, just maybe, we can dream of Wembley as Dennis Sirkin's inspired Sunderland became the first team to win at the Hawthorns, apparently, since October. I've got the full gang, because of course we've won, so they've all joined. First and foremost, I will go with Brad. Brad, how are you doing? Are you okay?
Yeah, man. Absolutely buzzing. Not long being back. Got back a couple hours ago. What a day. What a game. What an atmosphere. Yeah, absolutely buzzing, mate.
Dave, how are you? Are you all right?
I did bum in the Bradders on the way back with a car, which was nice to see. And yeah, just echo the sentiment. Absolutely class atmosphere. It was my little'un's first ever game of the day. Bless her, 6-year-old. Well, if she didn't come back after, well, she's got to come back after that, put it that way. Lucky woman. And inspired from Tony Mowbray, where are you going to get the goals from? Obviously Diallo, obviously Gelhardt, obviously Jack Clark. Nah. Guardiola hasn't even got it in the locker to get the left back to bag a brace. Absolutely unbelievable scenes.
I was working at Hampden today, and I was working on the side of the pitch, so I was doing the camera. And Ashley was in the crowd, and I kept getting texts just saying, Sirkin, and I'm like, what's he done? Like, and then it took me a while to realise that he'd scored. Obviously, watched the highlights back. Now I understand that he's a sort of borderline left-back version of Lionel Messi, so, you know, why not? Ross, you're also with us as well. Unfortunately, like me, you weren't at the game today, but I imagine, similarly, quite buzzing.
I watched it in the town in Victor's. We had a little trip over there. I thought I was really annoyed to be 1-0 down at half-time because we didn't deserve it. And then to bring it back in the way we did, and as we see, Dennis Sirkin, the inverted left-back striker, what a man.
The left-sided centre-half, left-back, centre-back striker with 4 goals this season through his head, by the way. One of them cost him about 3 months of game time, but nonetheless, less of that, the better. He's back and he's as good as ever. Brad, I'll come to you. The first off, obviously, we're all completely buzzing, as you can tell by the fact I'm rambling, but... I said yesterday, I think on Twitter, based on the results yesterday, especially when Blackburn inevitably scored an outstanding own goal, which I think, you know, I would have been proud of myself and kind of put us right in that picture. I said, oh, if we win tomorrow, it's going to look quite nice, that. I don't know if I was 100% sure if we would win at West Brom, because I think they were a good team, one of the best teams we've had at the stadium this season, I think. And obviously, we're severely depleted, which we're going to get into. But lo and behold, we've won, and although it's not in our own hands, you know, it could be come Tuesday, Wednesday, that if we win our games, we're in the playoffs. But another great weekend, Brad. What did you make of it? You were obviously there.
Yeah, I thought we were really good. Like Ross said, we were very unlucky to go in 1-0 down at half-time. Less said about the officials, the better. I think I ranted on Twitter and other social media platforms saying it would be typical if this was the result to cost us getting the playoffs because of a team being weak as piss and cheating away and officials being so incompetent, then it would be the story of the season. But credit to the lads, they came out second half and were on the front foot from the start. I mean, we weathered 5 or 10 minutes of them peppering our goal, I would say. I think there was a point, Dave, wasn't it, Ross? Just before we scored, not long before we scored, they must have had 6 shots in 30 seconds and every single Sunderland player was back in that box throwing their bodies on the line, which was absolutely amazing to see. Absolutely immense. And then when we got the goal, I knew there was another goal coming. And unlike Huddersfield the other night, where you could see their goal was coming, or another goal might be coming, I always thought, if there is one, it's going to be us when their goal got disallowed. But it was absolutely hilarious, because at our end, their fans continued to celebrate. Similar to when we scored, Burn Pritchard's free kick went in at Wembley, but it didn't. And we were just celebrating for too long. But yeah, I mean, it was just a great performance. I mean, I've slated him quite vocally, or said he's not really up to it at the minute. But an unsung hero today for me until he went off was Pierre Ecua. I thought he was absolutely outstanding at getting the ball back and driving us forward. The amount of interceptions, he was just in the right place at the right time and got us back on the front foot. I thought that was his best game for us, hands down. But I could go through the whole team, mate, just how mature the performance was, considering the fact, Luke O'Neill didn't get into the West Midlands until 4:15 this morning because his missus had the burn yesterday. The goalkeeping coach, I think he went back and got him and drove him down. So he didn't get there at 4:15. We have had to tinker the system, players. I think the player will be on their minds as well. Obviously, we haven't got an out-and-out centre-half there. We're missing an experienced midfielder. They'll know that, just as like us as fans. But a credit to every single one of them for not using it as an excuse and actually pulling out mature, excellent performances like that today. And yeah, I don't really think I can fault. And another player quickly, I would say Gooch wasn't that great the other night. I think he knew today he was the experienced man on that team, who's given the captain's armband. And I think when he's given that responsibility, you see a different side to him. When he knows he's one of the most experienced, mature players, and that the younger lads are going to look to him for a little bit of confidence, a little bit of drive. I thought he was excellent. And that's the type of Lyndon Gooch I want to see week in, week out. Because, yeah, I can go through the whole team here, but I'm sure you'll mention a few other players with the other two lads.
And it's a weekly thing, that as well. You know, I'm writing down players you think have played well. And like, look, last season was a good season, especially after obviously the run that we had and when we went up. But you'd have like two or three players that would really stand out. And I feel like the more the weeks go on, you're picking out like seven or eight sometimes at points. And yeah, I know we've had the occasional disappointing results. We had that little run of the three defeats, and the whole game was annoying, and Bristol City game was annoying. But I honestly think the big thing for me is, I think it was only a few weeks ago, me and Dave won after the Stoke game, I think, and we said, look, that probably puts pay at the playoffs. And we were obviously annoyed at the result, but I think we kind of were like, okay, it's been a good season. When it gets to the end of it, we're going to look back and be like, okay, it would be so easy for the players to have the injuries that they've had to be like, well, you know what? It's been a good season. There's plenty to build on next season. We haven't quite made the playoffs, but didn't expect to. But they've kind of just gone, nah, we're going to keep going right to the end and try our best, even though that literally everyone's injured. I mean, literally everyone's injured. Like, I was speaking to the lad on the preview show, Louis, the other day, and he was saying, oh, we've got a few injuries. I was like, mate, we've got our most experienced midfielder on cap now, our only striker out, and now basically our player of the year is injured. The likes of Embleton and those sort of players that would add to it, they've all gone as well. So I just think, you know, I'm not saying anything that no one's already said, but that just deserves so much credit for just even thinking that we can get in sixth, let alone being there. But Ross, I wanted to throw that question to you. I think the other week, we kind of accepted that playoffs probably aren't going to happen. Hey, they still might not. But we're banging with a shout, and we've literally got half a team. How are we doing this? Like, why is this happening? It's not luck, can it be?
No, it's not luck. I think we're a fearless side, and I think that helps us. Everyone's on about like, oh, they're so young, you know, where's the experience? But I think that might have played a bit of a part in us just like thinking, you know what, fuck it, we'll go for it. We've got now to lose here. And we just keep going and going and going. Like, we're a better team. And then that penalty, plenty of Sunderland teams in the past would have conceded that goal and just went, all right, well, we're not going to get anything here today. We've got no strikers. We're not going to score. Just sat back. Just, you know, we'll just go through the motions. But I feel like, I don't know what it is. I feel like, since the Hull game, the shackles are off, like, and it's just like, fuck it, you might want to score, but we'll go score again. I think Huddersfield was first half and second half total contrast in performances, but I also think there might have been a bit of tiredness, the Huddersfield game, and he freshened it up today. Like, you know, I think Roberts had probably one of his worst games for us against Huddersfield, and I think fatigue could be a part in that because he's played so much and he's had to get the ball a lot, you know. Whenever we're building something up, it always, I'll get over at Robertson, I'm get over Robertson. But, and we even seen a dip with Ahmad's form halfway through the season because he was knackered. And I feel like that makes a massive difference. But to be fair, all the other teams, the results are coming in. Like, the players were probably watching that last night, all the results coming in, thinking, fucking nobody wants this. You know what I mean? If we can get a few results, we can go on for this. And I feel like, mentally, it's made a massive difference that other teams are starting to crumble when we're gaining a bit of momentum. And I think the pressure's off us more than anyone because nobody expects us to be there.
Which
could help.
If we don't get in the playoffs, like, look, at this point, yeah, it'd be a bit disappointing because I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm starting to think now, ooh, Luton at home, Borough at home in the first leg, bring that on. Like, and I'm thinking way ahead of myself. But ultimately, if we don't get in and, like, you know, the Watford game, the home form could be better. Say that, you know, we don't get the result we want from that. And Preston away is not an easy game. And we probably need to win at least one of them, if not both of them, I think, to at least guarantee we're going to be in the playoffs, depending on the results during the week. But if we don't get in it, yeah, it's going to be disappointing because of how far we've come. But it's not going to be, like, life or death. Like, it's still a massive, massive achievement. And I think it does totally take the pressure off. But Dave, more talking about the game, obviously, I think talking about the playoffs is far too soon yet. There's still another 2 weeks to go. And I don't want to count any chickens whatsoever. We've still got a lot of work to do that. But we talked before about players you could pull out. We talked about Ekwa before. Dave, we've talked about Serkan for obvious reasons. I think you could pick a few out today, but who were the ones that stood out for you, Dave?
To be fair, I was just going to say thank you very much, everyone, for listening, and that's the end of the show, because I think Brad pretty much covered it, if I'm honest. But yeah, it's so many of them. Someone who we haven't been, me and you personally, haven't been the biggest fan of, was Joe Gelhardt. And Gelhardt was immense today. Very, very good. Probably didn't give us much of a goal-scoring threat, which is quite easy to see when both of West Brom's centre-halves were 77 foot two. Not exaggerating.
He still put one of them on the deck, though, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he deserves man of the match just for that in the back post, doesn't he?
That was excellent, by the way. Like, it reminded me of, like, do you remember when we scored against, I'm sorry to kind of remind people of League One, but when Honeyman scored, when Gooch scored against Walsall and Honeyman, like, laughing at lad's face. But, like, that, it was better. Gelhardt was better because it wasn't laughing in his face and being like, wait, it was just like, get out. Like, what came over him to do that? Still brilliant. I agree with you though, Dave. Sorry to interrupt. I think Gelhardt, I think he was excellent on Tuesday. I thought he was really, really good today.
Yeah, massively. He might frustrate some people. I know you don't believe in that word when it comes to him. But I was stood next to my brother, or one of my brothers, when probably about 10 minutes before the second goal. And I said, if we're going to score, it's going to come down our left-hand side. Jack Clark, he just oozes class. I know he doesn't always make the right decision. And that's the reason that he's a championship footballer. But he has everything in his locker to be a very, very good Premier League footballer. And I really hope it's with us. And even if it's not, the resale value will be absolutely massive, which is exactly what the football club are looking for. Pritchard, when he came on, just looked as though he had a bit of a chip on his shoulder. I know it was only a little bit of a cameo. Watching him and Roberts warm up together at halftime, to be honest, I think that's just the one thing that I've got to keep reiterating time and time again when we come on and we speak about it. The togetherness in that squad, whether it's loan players, whether it's fully signed on players, however it is, we're just, the togetherness is just unbelievable. There was, on the way out of the ground today, there's a bloke, probably younger than me dad, so I'd say, sorry if I'm doing him injustice, but late 50s, early 60s. And he goes, you know something? That's class. That's absolutely unbelievable. It is the first time in decades that I enjoy watching us play football and also think that everyone that's wearing that shirt would put their life on the line for the shirt. And I'm like, what more? What more can you ask for? You can't ask for anything else. And they're giving us a hell of a ride. And we're, unfortunately now, and you can blether on as much as you want about how it's not the end of the world if we don't get there. We've come this far now. If we lose out in the 11th hour, it's absolutely disgusting, mind. Football, the hope. It's the hope that kills you.
I think yeah, it would be luck we'd gotten if we did make it at this point, because we're sixth with two games to go. But like in reality, it's two tough games as well. Like, I think Watford aren't going to make the playoffs. So 6 points off us with two games to go. So I can't see that happening. And then Preston's obviously still in there as well. They're really two tough games. And I think just to kind of give a bit of balance, we need to remember that. But at the same time, would it surprise me if someone went and won both? Nah. I think when we have lost games this season, give or take one or two bad performances, which is fine in like a 40-odd game season, it's been just silly little things like inexperience, naivety, or just the other team's just been better sometimes, or the striker's been better, or they've had a better midfield, or whatever it may be. I think we've competed. I think we got to like September time and went, this show became a lot of, oh, we're competing at this level. And then it got like October time, November time, and you're like, well, we're still competing without a striker. Then November, December, when the striker started coming back, January, you were like, here, we're one of the better sides in the league here. And then the striker got injured and we were like, ah, damn. But realistically, all through the season, we've competed no matter what's been thrown at us. I think that's because we are one of the better sides in the league. And do I think we're in the top six? Well, at the minute, we are with all those injuries. So I think with the full squad, we're 100% a top six side. So it would be really disappointing not to make it. Brad, I'll come back to you, but...
Sorry, just a really quick one to add. One thing as well. Yeah, I know. I'm always sorry. Tuesday and Wednesday next week, there's two clubs which have got absolutely, well, listen, let's say the capacity of stadium light. So let's say about 45,000 extra fans, and that'll be Burnley and Sheffield United. And it's great for us when we're relying on other teams a little bit, because Burnley have got something to put right because they were terrible the other day. They shouldn't be getting beat off QPR. And then obviously Sheffield United, I think, need 3 points to go up. So,
correct me if I'm wrong though, Dave, as well, because Burnley got beat on, because I know some people might be going, Burnley haven't got much to play for. First and foremost, it's a derby, but extra incentive, correct me if I'm wrong, if they win, they've won the championship as well.
Exactly that.
At Blackburn. So
yeah. So both it's the perfect scenario for Sunderland to go into the last two games. Listen, we need a little bit of luck. And I've just said, listen, so there you go. Have that one for free. The lot is. Have it for free.
That was the second listen as well, Dave. You just didn't realise you said it the first time.
Whatever, Ross, don't make me say something I'll regret. But yeah, it's the perfect storm for Sunderland to go into it knowing exactly what we need to do, and hopefully it being in our hands. What a dream.
Brad, you sort of touched on this last week, and I was jokingly saying it's not the thoughts of what the folk pod and all that kind of stuff. And look, again, I'm going to reiterate this. I'm sorry to be the killjoy. Two really hard games. Two really big games before we can talk about anything. But you said we were going to make the playoffs. You had almost like a cast iron level of confidence from the start of the season, if we're completely honest. Look, are we just high off the win? Are we going to do it, Brad? And I mean, take out all the kind of like just being positive and trying to manifest it. Are we actually going to do it?
Yeah. I genuinely do believe we will.
Can I be honest? I don't want to say it, but I kind of feel it as well.
It's not even just a feeling. I'm going to put my neck on and say I know we're going to do it.
This is not the thoughts of What the Fuck podcast. It's just the thoughts of Bradley Sharp. All views are his own.
All views are my own. I'm happy to say that. I've just got that feeling in this group of players. If we were going to falter or completely fuck it up, we'd have done it by now. I believe there's that much belief amongst the squad and the players. I seen it at the end when the players were stood there watching, just the fans singing, and we were appreciating them and they were appreciating us. I think that if it's possible, it's even probably give them a little bit more fire in the belly, thinking, right, we're going to do it for them, not just for us now. We are going to actually do it. And I think the players believe. And I think they've got the perfect manager to do it. I mean, I listened to his post-match today, and they said, what did you say? Obviously conceding at half-time. And he said, it was just one quick team talk. It was, we're playing well, do what we're doing, but we've only failed to score once in the last 24 or 25 games, which he said. He said, you're going to go out there, you're going to score, enjoy it with the fans, because when you score one, you're going to score two. He told them. He's given them that much belief. And I think every single person associated with the club's feeding off that. He played it down for so long, which is a credit to him. He didn't let them get carried away, I think. Listen, the players have got their own minds to make up throughout the season. If he's playing it down, that's fine, but they can have their own little chats and think, no, we are in for it here. But to the media and to the public, he has played it down for as long as he can. And then when it's becoming a reality with, I think it was 5 games to go, and there was a chance, he sort of said, look, we'll take the next one and see if we can go into the last 2 games with it to play for. And he's done exactly that. 2 games to go, we're in there with it to play for. And I just believe he's every week he's just been putting an extra bit of confidence into them. There's been a bit of squad rotation. Look, he got it, maybe he's a little bit wrong against Huddersfield. He'll hold his hand up, I think, and admit that. But today he got absolutely bang on. I mean, he didn't have much of a choice. But considering our injury crisis, when you looked at our bench today, the players we had to bring on was Roberts, we had Michu, we had Pritchard. 3 players, which realistically, over the course of the season, you would say you wouldn't be against them starting at all. So to have them to come on when it was 1-1 and to probably push us, because like I said, there was only one team going to score towards the end of that. And he got it absolutely bang on. And I just want to mention as well, when you talk about Joe Gelhardt, the last few games, I wouldn't be against him coming back next season, because I can see a player there. If he had a striker, a playoff, alongside Ross Stewart, alongside, let's just even say, Ellis Sims, I can guarantee he would bag double figures. I think he is a very, very talented footballer. And I know a lot of people have, and we've sort of said, I think it was 3 or 4 games ago, is it time to write him off? Is it time we were like, I feel sorry for him? He's been brilliant the last few games, last 2 or 3 games, since his goal against Hull. He's been excellent. So, yeah, I mean, players like that, Tony Mowbray has persisted with them. He's managed them, and he's starting to fit into the system, albeit he's not going to get the goals, but his link-up play today was excellent. He was either coming in deep, picking the ball up and getting us on the front foot, or he was drawing foul every single time, and it was frustrating the life out of their fans, and you could feel it. So, to answer your question, yes, we are going to get in the playoffs.
I mean... Look, I know I said last week, I don't think so, but it's like, I don't know, there is something like, I'm not going to lie, like they just feel like, it's just the feeling's good at the minute. And I think we all know what sometimes like when the feeling's good, it's a juggernaut. But I think Saturday is absolutely enormous. Absolutely enormous. I think a lot of it hinders on that game, if I'm completely honest. Cause we like a bit of balance here, Ross. I think maybe I've sort of touched on this already, but I just wanted to get your opinion. If we don't make it, if we don't make the playoffs, we end up 7th and miss out by like a point, or 8th and 2 points or something. Do you think it affects the mood very much? Or do you think, like, again, going back to what we said before, this is almost not a free hit, but like the pressure's just completely off, because if we don't, it's all right. We'll still be like relatively happy, if a little bit of a tinge of disappointment.
I think it'll be disappointment if we win Saturday, then still miss out. I think it depends on the manner of how we miss out. But also in the long run, as you say, we weren't expected, especially adding all the circumstances that have come on since with injuries and losing Sims, etc. But I read somewhere earlier that we didn't have one player over the age of 30 in the squad today. Which is mad. You know what I mean? With such a young squad, inexperienced there as well. Just to even be in the shout, I'm over the moon. I'm over the moon for the players and everyone involved in the club. Because when you look at the fixtures when they first come out, I look at the back end of the season, I was like, West Brom away, Watford at home. God, I hope we don't need points to stay up. And now we're looking at it going, well, getting a few points here to get in the playoffs. It's mad. Totally above my expectations. And I just think it's good. I don't know how many words we can keep saying about how great it is to see the side and how young we are and how how good football we play as well. Like today, some of the football for 20 minutes, West Brom couldn't touch with. And like, I know we praised Gallagher before there, but he was, how many times he got kicked to bits? No wonder he pushed that bloody centre half away, because he was a dirty little bastard. He kept on kicking him. And like, it was a disgrace the amount of times the referee got to go away with. And I feel like Brad alluded to it before, in that role where he comes a bit deeper and he's linked up players, it's tremendous to watch. And we've got so many good, gifted, technical footballers. But also, let's be honest, there's some fucking balls in that team as well. Like, how many times have been written off from me included? I'll put myself in there, I thought, especially, I think after the whole game, I thought, well, aye, that's it now. Like, we kind of hold on to a 4-3 lead when you've been, you know, been back and forth conceding four at home. I was like, we just haven't got the players back and fit. But Ekwa, tremendous. Another one who I thought was a bit of a one where I thought he's never going to be ready. And then Trey Hume couldn't even get the team at right back from September. Came in at right back in November when Gooch got injured. Tremendous. And now he's a bloody min centre half. Who would have thought it?
Trey Hume's... For me, Jack Clark's been player of the year. I think if you're not seeing Jack Clark, you're looking at the likes of Pato and obviously Danny Bart. But I think, you know, if he'd been in the team a little bit earlier, Trey Hume, apart from the penalty against Bristol City and apart from the mistake against Hull, he's been largely faultless for the best part of 6-7 months now. And for me, he's got a spot somewhere in that defence for Sunderland for like years if he keeps up this level of form, because he's just excellent. And I mean, I kind of wax lyrical about how much I'm enjoying watching this team. And you said before, the absolute bollocks that they have. Like, there's so many things that have gone against us this season that it would have been easy for us as fans, let alone the team, to be like, oh, well, that's just Sunderland. Manager's left after four games. We're getting in Tony Mowbray, who none of us seemed that enthused by. But everything's kind of came up Milhouse, really. And like, I do want to touch on Mowbray as well, right? Because Brad, to be fair, you were someone who, in the aftermath of, we were outside the Stadium of Light with that Norwich game, and we said, oh, nah, not sure. And Ross was like, and me and Dave wasn't on that show, but we spoke afterwards and we were like, Tony Mowbray. And you said, no, I think it's the right choice. I know the second tier podcast might not agree with us because apparently he's underachieving, you absolute numpties. But he's got to be around there for like manager of the year. He's been excellent. Everything you could have wanted for him and more. He's been superb. And I think sometimes we forget how good he's been, Brad. But how much credit does Tony Mowbray deserve? We praise the players a lot, but how much does he deserve?
Huge credit. Huge credit from the day he walked in. He's never got ahead of himself. No, Sunderland's a big club, or yada yada yada. Like a lot of pundits have said, Sunderland are a big club. They need to be pushing on. I think Lee Hendry said as soon as we got promoted from League One, they're going to finish sixth next season. There was a lot of outside noise that Sunderland should be aiming high. And the days came in, and he's openly said, my job was to consolidate in this league. Anything else is a bonus. And he's done just that. He's literally done exactly what he's came in to do. But you can just tell the players love playing for him, and they're taking everything he says in on a week-to-week basis. I mean, if you watch him on the sideline before he brings players on 5, 10, 15 minutes before, he'll go and talk to them. He'll start pointing, tell them, then they'll go and warm up. And then he'll have another quick chat if anything's changed. If you watch it, he's brilliant. I think he's just a brilliant man manager. And with his record in the past of developing young players, I think he's had James Maddison on before. He's coached him. He's like the standout one, you would say. I'm sure there's many, many more, but I can't understand what these fans say from your other guests that you've had on, in particular like the Blackburn one, or that after what he'd done for Blackburn, saying that he had this second half of the season syndrome. That's bollocks. That's absolute bollocks. He's just a good manager. He is just a good man manager. He's when he talks, you want to listen. and that's us as fans, and I'm guessing the players will be exactly the same. You don't get the longevity he's had in football at a very good level throughout, really, apart from when he went in to save Blackburn. He couldn't. I mean, they were pretty much down before he went in. But he brought them straight back up, consolidated them, and each year pretty much pushed them towards the playoffs. So he deserves huge credit. It's been an excellent season. Whatever happens from now to the end, we are going to get promoted. Well, we're going to get the playoffs, then we're going to get promoted. I just think he deserves so much credit for everything he's had thrown in his way. Because I know he'll be, even though he doesn't show it and doesn't say it, he'll be seething that he wasn't given another strike in the January. But he hasn't really said, well, that's it, over. He's found ways to get around that. And he's persisted with Gelhardt when it wasn't working. And we've started to see better performances. Maybe it's later than we wanted, but look, he's very, very good for these young lads. And he's honest. He's honestly, he says to the press exactly why some of the players aren't in there. Maybe it's the English. Anderson's not ready for the physicality, et cetera, et cetera. He'll be honest with the players as well. And I know you've had ex-players on the show and said, why would Mick McCarthy, one of the better managers they've had? And it was because he was a man manager. And that's why they had a lot of respect for him. And Peter Reid, another one to go back to, they were the same. So, no, he deserves huge credit, mate. And look, he's going to get us there. He's going to get us there.
I think we did the show with the Blackburn journalist who obviously worked with him quite closely. And the one thing that really stuck with me was just like, Tony Mowbray's a good bloke. He's just a good bloke. And I totally get that. And I can completely understand why people want to play for him. But he's been excellent. He's got us playing some of the best football I've ever seen in my lifetime. Not just good football, some of the best I've ever seen. He's a likeable fella. The players obviously play for him. The players play for each other. It's a really good time to be a Sunderland fan, and I'm loving it. No matter what happens, it's just such a breath of fresh air. But we've got a couple minutes left, so I'm going to do a quick roundtable. I'm not going to ask how many we're going to get, just to clarify. I'm asking you how many we need. Ross, Watford at home, Preston away. How many points do we need to secure the playoffs?
6.
Dave, how many points do we need to secure the playoffs?
6.
Brad, how many points do we need to secure the playoffs?
4.
I'm going to say 6, but it's not like Brad to be different.
I'm only saying that is because every other team seems like they don't want to go up either. Who are they? Dropping points, and they've still got a couple of them to play each other. I think 4, pending the midweek results go our way, 4 points I think will be enough.
You've got to agree that nothing less than 4, I think. Anything less than 4, I think. Obviously not. But
Plus, I only want to finish 6th. I don't want to finish 5th because I'd rather play Burrow over 2 legs. So I hope Burrow win tomorrow night. And I'd rather play Burrow over 2 legs in a 1-game shootout at Wembley.
If we get there, I'll take Luton or Borough. None of them bother me at all. Maybe famous last words, but just how I feel in the moment. So, but honestly, pleasure doing it. It's such an easy podcast to do this year because it's been so much fun, but it might not continue to be fun in the next few weeks, but who knows? I think come the end of the season, it's going to be remembered as one of the better seasons to support Sunderland, one of the more fun seasons to support Sunderland, and considering the absolute crap that's been thrown at us as fans and the team, it's just fair play to everyone. Quality. But Brad, Dave, Ross, thanks very much. Now I've got another half an hour of editing, so everyone listening, you better bloody like it. Better bloody subscribe if you haven't already. And I, on a serious note, I do really appreciate you listening. But thanks, lads. Cheers.